Joshua is talking to the people. At the end of his life, he's about to turn over the reins of leadership. And he says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I have an Independence Day, 4th of July tradition. I've done this for the past, I don't know how many years. But when I was a kid, my mom would let me watch the Red Skelton Show. Now, I'm probably dating myself. Some of you younger people don't even probably know who Red Skelton is. I want to ask you to hold your hands because I don't want to see that. Huh? Yeah, Clem Cadiddlehopper is the one that I remember. But I remember one show when I was a kid it was prior to the 4th of July one year, and Mr. Skelton came out on stage, and he said something like this. He said, "I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincent, Indiana. And to me, he was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day, and he walked over, this little teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name, and he said this, 'I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I can, may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion. To the flag, our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, that means we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. Of America and to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right and power to live one's own life without threats, fears, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or quality of dealing fairly with others, for all. For all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Skelton said that his class stood with new purpose and said together, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Then Red went on to say, he said, "Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?" I don't know that anybody said it is a prayer, but it's been eliminated from most schools. We're trying to take God Today, people are trying to take God out of everything. They're trying to take him out of our past. They're trying to take him out of our present. And they're trying to take him out of our future. Tonight, as I did this morning, tonight, one day after we've celebrated our 244th birthday as a country, I want you to think with me again about what it means to be under God. Under God. When you are under somebody, and I'm not talking about God right now, but when you are under somebody, it means that they are your superior, that they give the orders, that you follow their direction. If you are under them, you have the same priorities that they do. You have the same objectives that they do. For example, if I was under Brother Don tonight, okay, he would be my boss. He would give the orders. It would be my responsibility to follow his orders. It would be my responsibility to go in the direction that he pointed out for me to go in. I would want the same things that he wanted. I would have the same priorities. I would have the same desires because I'm under him. Well, the same thing is true of a nation. And as I mentioned this morning, this nation will only be under God if we as individuals place ourselves under God. When we say under God, what we're saying is, God, you're going to be our boss. We're going to follow your orders. We're going to head in the direction that you point. We're going to have the same priorities and we're going to have the same desires. God has shown us in his word that he will guide nations. He guided the nation of Israel, and for the first part of our history, until recent history, I believe he has guided our nations. I know that God still has the power to set up nations and to tear down nations. I know that God still has the power to appoint kings and tear down kings. I know that God still has the power to set up presidents and tear down presidents, and set up a congressman and tear down congressmen, and set up governors and tear down governors. God still has that power. He has not changed. Psalm 33:12 has not changed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And all we need to do to know how God works with our nation, the United States of America, is to look back and see how God worked with the nation of Israel. When the nation of Israel put themselves under God, when the nation of Israel said, God, you're going to be our God, and you're going to be the boss, and we're going to follow your direction. When you tell us to go, we're going to go. When you tell us to stop, we're going to stop. And we're going to want the same things that you want. We're going to have the same priorities that you want, that you have. And when the nation of Israel put themselves under God, God blessed the nation of Israel. You can see it over and over again in his word. If you want to see a bunch of times together where that happened, just read the book of Judges. Every time the nation of Israel put themselves under God, God blessed the nation of Israel. And every time the nation of Israel turned away from God, every time the nation of Israel said, no, we don't want a God. We want to be our own God. We want to make our own decisions. We want to decide what we're going to do. And they turned to worship idols. They turned to worship the sticks and the statues and pieces of nature and the gods of the land in which they lived. Every time the nation of Israel did that, God tried to call them back. I mean, he sent them prophets, and he tried to call them back, and he warned them, you need to turn back to me. And they ignored the warning of the prophet many, many times. They ignored the warning of the prophets, and what happened? God sent judgment. God sent judgment. He says, if you're not going to be my people, I'm not going to be your God. And he says, I've got to get your attention. And so he would send a nation, a people in to defeat his people. And put them in bondage and have them suffer the things that go along with being under somebody else. And again, you can go back to the book of Judges. It happened 7 or 8 times. They would repent. They would think back to the time that they were under God. They would think back to the way that God blessed them when they were under God. And they would say, the way we're living now is no way to live. We need to go back and turn our hearts back to God. And they would repent, and they would go back, and they would worship God. And they would put themselves under God again, and God would bless. He would bless. He would bless. Now you would think that a people would learn. You would think that fathers would teach their children and grandfathers would teach their grandchildren. Hey, if you want to be blessed as a nation, stay under God. Because every time we've turned away from God, a Jewish father could say, or a Jewish grandfather could say, every time we've turned away from God, he's judged us. And we've paid the price for turning away from God. And I would think a Jewish father or a Jewish grandfather could stay with great conviction, stay under God. Keep God your God. Worship Jehovah God and Him alone. Live by the rules that He's given you. Have the same desires that He wants you to have. And I think a Jewish dad or a Jewish grandfather could tell their children that with a sense of conviction, with a sense of zeal, and convince them that they ought to stay under God. But we know that's not what happened. Because over and over, I mean, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, we can see God's people turning away from Him, paying the price for coming out from under God and putting themselves above God and saying, no, we don't want a God. We don't want a God telling us what to do. We don't want a God. You know, I was thinking this afternoon as I was going over my notes, you know, that's why people don't believe in creation today. Many, many people don't believe in creation. You know why? Because if they believe in creation, they got to believe in a creator. And if they got to believe in a creator, they got to believe in a God. And if they got to believe in a God, then there's somebody they got to be accountable to. And the world today doesn't want to be accountable to anybody. It would seem that we as America could learn that same lesson. The times that we have put ourselves under God, He has blessed. He has blessed. But when we've removed ourselves, and I'm not talking about you as individuals tonight, I'm talking about us as a nation. When we have taken ourselves as a nation from under God and decided that homosexuality is okay, and we decided that abortion was okay, and we decided that we're going to change the definition of marriage. And I could go on and on and on tonight about how we've taken ourselves out from under God, and we've said, we'll be our own gods. We'll decide. You know what? Here's what I think. I think that all of that has happened because a small vocal minority has been bowed to by the majority. And it's time for the majority of Americans, it's time for Christians to stand up and say, no more. No more. We are going to be a nation under God. That's how we started. That's how we want to finish. We're going to be a nation under God. And we're going to order our country after this book. After this book. There's two ways for a nation to be under any ruler. Two ways. The first way is to be conquered. An army comes in and defeats your army. And you're placed in subjection under that nation that has come in and conquered your nations. Your nation. So, for example, as an example, the Babylonians conquered Israel. Nebuchadnezzar was their king. The Babylonian army defeated the army of Israel. And the nation of Israel came under the Babylonians and came under Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they didn't like it much. They rebelled as much as they could. But they were under the Babylonians and under King Nebuchadnezzar because they were conquered. A second way that a nation comes under another nation is that they surrender. They surrender. Some nations have surrendered after a fight. Some nations have surrendered before the fight began. In fact, the Bible tells us if you're going to war with somebody and you see a nation approaching that outnumbers you, that you ought to send ambassadors to that nation and negotiate peace before they come and conquer you. I mean, it's being conquered is inevitable because they outnumber you. And so you ought to send ambassadors and negotiate peace. So two ways a nation gets under another nation. They are either conquered or they surrendered. How do we get under God? God never conquers us. God never violates our will. It's always our choice to be under God. It's us surrendering to God. But wait a minute. Let me go back and make a point I did this morning because I think it's a point worth repeating. The pledge says, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty. With liberty. How can a nation, how can an individual be under God and have liberty or freedom at the same time? Because you see, if I have a boss, I'm not free. If I'm taking someone else's orders, I'm not free. If I'm following somebody else's direction, I'm not free. If somebody else is setting my priorities and my desires, where's liberty? Well, the answer is the same answer I gave you this morning. I can have liberty and be under God at the same time when I surrender and I say to God, I choose to place myself under you. We say, as we do that, God, I don't know what's best for me, but you do. I can't run my own life, but you can. I can't make my own decisions, but you can. I want your priorities. I want your desires. You know what's best, and so I surrender. I surrender and place myself unto you. And like I said this morning, I can do anything I want because the only thing I want to do is what God wants me to do. I'm free from care because God meets all my needs. I don't have to worry, as we talked about this morning, about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to wear or where I'm going to live, because the one that I placed myself under has that responsibility. Now, again, let me give you a couple examples. I'm going to go back and use the example I did this morning. But prodigal son, he wasn't under his father at the beginning of the story. He wasn't under his father when he came and asked for his part of the inheritance. And he sure wasn't under his father when he was in a far country wasting his living in riotous acts. But when he came home and he said, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Make me a servant. Let me live with the servants. Dress me like a servant. Work me like a servant. I don't deserve to be a son. I've dishonored you. I don't deserve to be a son. Let me be one of your servants. And we know. Daddy said, oh no, you're my son. You were lost, but now you're found. And he put a robe on his back and shoes on his feet, ring on his finger, killed the fatted calf, had a party to welcome his son home. That son was under his father at the end of the story, but he was free. He had freedom. He could do anything he wanted because the only thing he wanted to do was what daddy wanted him to do. And he didn't have to worry like he did when he was in a far country and ran out of money. He didn't have to worry about what he was going to wear, where he was going to live, what he was going to eat, because daddy took care of all that. He was under his father, but he was free. And then let me give you another biblical example. A slave, every 7 years, or a slave after 7 years, was set free. That was the Jewish law. When you were a slave for 7 years, your master had the responsibility at the end of 7 years to give you your freedom. Unless you said, "Master, I would prefer to be a slave as to have my freedom." And when a slave said that to his master, the master would take him to a doorpost and would pierce his ear, drive an awl through his ear, a pointed awl through his ear and pierce his ear. That was a sign that said, here was a slave who was offered his freedom, but who decided to stay under his master. What he was saying when he said that to his master was, I want you to be my boss. I want to continue to follow your orders. I want to continue to take your direction and have your priorities and your desires. I know you're going to feed me. You're going to clothe me. You're going to meet all my needs. But I have decided to be under you. That's what we need to decide, to be under God. To say, you're going to be the boss in my life. You're going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to be obedient. You're going to give me the desires of my heart, because the desires of my heart are the desires that you want me to have. The priorities in my life are the priorities that you want me to have. And I think it's time that we as Christians redouble our commitment to be under God and to say, God, you're God. You know what's best for us. We don't. And so I am placing myself under you. You are going to be my God. If you look at our country today, when most people say the Pledge of Allegiance, if they do at all, they probably ought to leave out under God, because they're not under God. That's why it's so important for us as Christians, the children of God, to be under Him. Those around us need to see us living under Him. Under Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, put ourselves back under God. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, the choice is ours. Joshua told us. He said, choose your God. You can choose the gods your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or you can choose the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to surrender, and we're going to be under Him. He's going to be our boss. We're going to follow His orders. We're going to live the way that He wants us to live. And I can't think of a better time of year to recommit ourselves as Christians to be under our God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for being the God that we can be under, because you sent your Son. Out of your love for us, you sent your Son to die on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins, to make us part of your family, to make us your son. We could say the same thing to you that the prodigal said to his father. We don't deserve it. We've dishonored you in our sin. There's no way we deserve to be a son. Just make us a servant. And God says, no, no, no. I'm going to make you a son. I'm going to make you one of my children. I'm going to make you part of my family. And Father, I pray that because we have that great privilege of being a child of God, that we would put ourselves under you and we would submit and surrender to you and say, you're going to be the boss of our life. We're going to be obedient. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that's never received the gift of salvation that Jesus purchased for them on Calvary, that tonight they would see their sin, they would see the only hope they have to be right with you is to come to Christ. And tonight they would come and they would call out to you and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me from my sin. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray there'd be somebody here tonight that would claim that promise. I pray as we as Christians, having claimed that promise sometime in the past, again would recommit ourselves to be under our God and to be obedient to his will and his way. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.